Then the second step in this meditation is remembering the kindness that others showed to us when they were our mother. So again, the mother is used as an example because in most cultures, the mother is the one that people feel closest to. But, you know, it could be anybody. It could be your father or, you know, a babysitter. So you choose whoever it was who was kindest to you as a child. And by using the example of how that person was kind to us, remember that they were kind to us like that in previous lives. And not only were they kind to us in that way, but all these other beings who at one time or another have been in that same role with us have been kind to us in that exact same way. So you might do this meditation using a caregiver, whoever it was when you were a child. I still think in some level, this is my personal opinion, that it is very helpful to do this meditation in addition, specifically with our parents of this life. Although we might do it, you know, in terms of a caregiver or somebody else, so that we get the feeling. It's easier, you know, when we remember somebody who is really kind to us and then think others have been kind to us in that way. We might do it that way to get the feeling of this meditation. My personal experience is I think it's still very useful to come back and look at the kindness of our specific parents this lifetime, precisely because we often have so many problems in our relationships with them. And a lot of the problems in our relationships with our parents is, you know, because any relationship has some help and it has some harm. And we've focused on the harm, and we've developed, you know, unforgetting memory and single-pointed concentration on the harm. And we've forgotten some of the other things that they have done for us. And so to go back and have to do this meditation, you know, specifically in terms of the parents of this life, personally, I found it a very healing thing. Incredibly difficult. I mean, I haven't had an easy relationship with my parents. I won't tell you my whole story now. you know, but I haven't had an easy time with them, and they haven't had a particularly easy time with me either. You know, I mean, we got along great until I turned about 17, and then, you know, actually, we didn't get along great that whole time, but, you know, it got worse at 17. and I found it very helpful personally to go back and really think through so many of those things in the childhood to recognize what my parents did do for me. Because especially in our culture, I think we are brought up to remember what our parents have done that we don't like. And I mean, that's what you, when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, what do? You complain about your parents. That's what everybody does. You know, if you don't complain about your parents to your friends, your friends think you're weird. Yeah. Huh?
You're sissy.
Right, yeah, you're too dependent or, you know, something. So you have to complain about your parents. And so we've gotten in that habit and it's left a lot of scars inside of us. So when I'm talking here about the benefit we've received from our parents and the kindness, I'm not trying to whitewash over any kind of abuse, okay? Because there are abuses in childhood situations, and we're not pretending that those don't exist. They do exist. But we're also trying to have a more complete picture of all of those things. So instead of just taking the abuse and putting the abuse under the magnifying glass and putting the benefit under a stack of books so we don't see it, we're going to try and look at both of the abuse and the benefit with a more realistic attitude. Okay, so taking some of the drama out of the abuse and, you know, opening ourselves up to see the benefit that we have received in our life. Okay, and it takes some time, so one meditation on this isn't going to do it. In fact, one meditation initially might make you more confused. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with getting confused. I know we don't like being confused, but sometimes confusion is a step to understanding. So, you know, especially when we meditate and all these other questions come up and things you haven't looked at come up and doubts come up, don't be afraid of them. Just write them down. You know, we can talk about them. Everybody can discuss them. But, you know, when these confusions come, it also is indicating that you're ready for a deeper understanding than you were before. So I don't think we need to be afraid of our confusion. So talking about the kindness, and I'll say of the mother here, okay, that again, you know, you can adapt it for your situation, and you can come back and look at it in terms of your mother. Okay. Well, first of all, the fact that our mother gave birth to us. And, I mean, I think it would be really nice to have some of the mothers in the room, you know, Carrie and Lori and, you know, you have to wait, Sarah, a few more months, to talk about, or you might actually be able to talk to about just the experience of carrying the baby, you know, and what it's like. And, you know, just from the very time before we were born, somebody was incredibly aware of our presence and changed their whole life because we were entering it. Yeah. Because before you have a baby, you know, you can do a whole lot of things, and then once you have a baby, your lifestyle changes a lot. And our parents were very, very happy to change their lifestyle to accommodate us. Yeah, so but still, if you look, you may not have wanted to, but you did it, and why did you do it? Because there's some underlying care and affection for that being. You know, and somehow that underlying care and affection overrode your own personal whatever you wanted to do at that moment. Yeah, because if there were no underlying care and affection, you wouldn't change your lifestyle at all. Yeah. So there was something there. And they always say, like, if somebody showed up at the door and tapped on our door and said, "Hey, can I move in with you for the rest of my life?" We'd say, "Where's the telephone for 911?" Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't welcome a total stranger into our life who's going to move in for, you know, the next 20 years. But, you know, when a woman gets pregnant, you know, she and her partner welcome a total stranger into their life for the next however many years. Yeah? I mean, the baby's a total stranger. You don't know who they were in their previous life. Who were you in there? Yeah. But somehow, in spite of being a total stranger, just completely welcomed. Yeah? So in that way, you know, our parents welcomed us. I mean, they did. We were born. We're here. And they adjusted their lifestyle because of some underlying care for us. And then, you know, just the whole process of carrying the child. And I think here, you guys know more than me. Yeah. But I can imagine at some point it must be quite uncomfortable. I don't know, the morning sickness at the beginning, or having the belly out to here at the end, or, you know, or the birth process. Yeah. But again, you know, our parents went through this, specifically our mother went through all these different things of, you know, the change in her body and the discomfort in her body and, you know, the birth process and the whole thing. And they went through it for our benefit so that we could be born.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you were in a car accident when you were pregnant. Yeah. 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 So you go through a whole lot. But it's done with a feeling of love for the child. You know, even though you don't know who this child is, even though it might be inconvenient or whatever, but there is that basic kind of love. And so I think it's important for us to remember that, and to remember that we came into this world with that basic kind of love and support system. Because we do forget it. We forget it. And then the whole time when we were infants, we couldn't take care of ourselves at all. We're totally helpless. We couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't clothe ourselves. We couldn't keep ourselves warm or keep ourselves cool. We couldn't even say to anybody else what we wanted. You know? And we're so proud of ourselves because we're so independent, self-sufficient. I mean, if it hadn't been, again, for the kindness of the people who took care of us when we were infants, we couldn't have kept alive. You know, we didn't have the ability to keep ourselves alive. It's that simple. That our whole life is due to the kindness of other people. Because if other people hadn't have taken care of us when we were little, we would have died. Very easy. Very easy. Yeah. So for all that time when we were little, they fed us. You know, even in the middle of the night, you know, we cried and we howled and we carried on, and our mother's exhausted and hasn't slept. You know? But she fed us and she took care of us. You know, who do we get up in the middle of the night to take care of? Yeah. So, you know, and this wasn't just one night, it was many nights, and it was year after year, you know, feeding us and taking care of us. And you know, putting clothes on us and changing our diapers, taking care of us, putting us to bed, waking us up, taking us to the doctor, giving us polio vaccines. You know? And then all the times when we were little that we so easily could have killed ourselves. You know, we were always getting into all sorts of mischief, you know, going towards the edge of the bed. You know, probably remember with Leandro, you know, always kind of, you got to be real careful because you don't know what he's going to put in his mouth and, you know, if he's going to get near some stairs or, you know, what's going to happen. And so the same way, when we were little, our mother's always looking after us because so easy for us to get hurt. So incredibly easy. I remember one incident, this was right at the time when they were kind of recognizing Lama Osel as Lama Osel. And he and his mother were at Tushita in India. And he was just a toddler at the time, just, you know, a little over a year. And he had something in his mouth and he was choking and beginning to turn blue. And nobody knew what to do. And his mother ran up and, you know, swung him up by the feet upside down, whacked him until it came out. You know? I mean, she knew exactly what to do. Yeah? And if it hadn't been for her, he would have just gotten bluer and bluer and bluer, you know. And so how many times when we were children did we put things in our mouth and start to choke or get dangerously near a step or the edge of the bed or slip in the bathtub? Or, I mean, we probably all have lots of stories, you know, that our parents have told us or that we remembered of how we've gotten hurt when we were little, and yet people always took care of us when we got hurt. And all the times when we didn't get hurt because they were able to catch us before we did. Because we didn't know any better. And so how many times they had to intervene so that we didn't accidentally harm ourselves.